Hare Krishna. So today is a very, very special day. And therefore we're having a different verse from normal. But before I begin, just like to request the permission and blessings of all the Vaishnavas present, that I can say something which is appropriate and relevant on this very, very auspicious day. So before we read the verse, I'll just give an introduction to this very special day that we're observing today. Krishna is very, very merciful. Every day we sing Krishna Bodha Doyamoy before we take prasadam. So we may not remember Krishna's mercy throughout the day, but before we're taking prasadam, we remember Krishna's mercy. Krishna is very, very merciful. He comes to this world and he attracts living entities to come back to Krishna, back to the spiritual world. That is very, very wonderful. Krishna, by his pastimes, attracts the minds. Last year I was in Nigeria and I was traveling around and we came to a city called Benin. This is a very special city in Nigeria. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj spent a lot of the time there writing his books, his Spiritual Warrior series. So anyway, we were going around and then we went into the market, and like Africa is, it's just like India basically. It's chaos. So we went to the market and there was all these stalls and all these different people selling different things. And then there was one stall and there was, you know, 50 million items, you know, he was presenting. And then right there in his, on his stall, on his table, I saw a row of little Krishna DVDs. I thought, oh great, the devotees are even here, you know, like with their business, they also sell the Krishna DVDs, great. So I went up to the person behind the counter and said, oh, Hari Bol. And you just look like, hurry, what? Like, then it clicked to me, this, he's not a devotee. He's not a devotee. Yet he had little Krishna DVDs in Nigeria on a market stall selling them. So I said to him, what are these? He said, this is an amazing cartoon. I said, really? What's it about? He said, it's about this boy. And this boy, he pulls demons down from the skies. He dances on the heads of snakes. He sucks the life out of people. I mean, he's giving me a full 10th canto breakdown here. And then I said to him, who is this boy? He said, Krishna. I said, who is Krishna? I don't know, but he's a bad man. Of course, bad meaning wonderful, amazing, astonishing, captivating. Somehow or other, this person, he was going flicking through YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. And he came across little Krishna and these cartoons, and he watched them and he thought, this is amazing. People are going to love this. So anyway, he downloaded it and then pirated all the copies. But I thought, here he is. He didn't have the tattva down. He didn't have the tattva down, but he was experiencing some rasa, for sure. And here he was, captivated by Krishna, giving Krishna to others, and making a bit of money on the side as well. That's okay. But it's wonderful how Krishna enters people's lives. So Krishna is very, very merciful. Somehow or other, he enters Krishna's life, everyone's life. But who's more merciful than Krishna? Some say Chaitanya, some say, I was wondering where we're going to go. Both are correct, but let's rewind. Let's go first and say Radharani is more merciful than Krishna. Isn't it? That's why devotees in Vrindavan, they say we are... we worship Radharani, then we get Krishna. So Radharani is more merciful than Krishna. Now imagine when Krishna comes to this world in his most merciful form, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performing his most merciful Gauranga Leela in which everyone is inundated with love of God. Imagine the form of Radharani that comes down in those merciful leelas, and how merciful that form must be. That form is Gadadhar Pandit. And that's the form of Radharani that we're worshipping and we're remembering and we're talking about today. So sometimes these days go by and we don't realize today is the Radhastami of Gauralila. Today is a very, very important day, a day in which we can remember Gauranga and Gadadhar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had his worshipable deities of Gaura Gadadhar in Godruma. And in a beautiful song he says, Smara Gaura Gadadhara Keili Kalam Bhava Gaura Gadadhara Pakshachara Shrinu Gaura Gadadhara Charu Katha Bhaja Godruma Kanana Kunja Vidum. He says, just remember the pastimes of Gauranga and Gadadhar, Gadai Gauranga. Lend your ears to hearing the discussions of Gauranga and Gadadhar. And somehow Pakshachara become a loyal servant on Gadadhar Gauranga's side. And in this way worship Lord Chaitanya, who is the moon of Godruma. So Gadadhar Pandit is very, very important for us. And his pastimes with Mahaprabhu are incredibly special, incredibly unique. The relationship between Gauranga and Gadadhar is a very, very deep relationship, way beyond my comprehension. Kaviraj Goswami says, Panditera bhava mudra kahana nayai Gadadhara prananatha nama hoile hoi. Panditera bhava mudra kahana nayai. No one can understand the deep mood and love that Gadadhar Pandit has for Gauranga. Gadadhara prananat nama hoile hoi. Therefore, Gadadhar Pandit is the life and soul of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's names is Gadadhar prananat. The personality whose life and soul is Gadadhar Pandit. So it's very, very deep pastimes, deep relationship between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were born, appeared very, very close to each other, just 1 year apart. And their natures were completely different. Mahaprabhu was loud, argumentative, sometimes violent, sometimes some would even say arrogant. Gadadhar Pandit was gentle, subdued, very soft, very unassuming. And in this way, they were contrasting personalities. Mahaprabhu would always want to debate with Gadadhar Pandit. I don't want to debate. I just want to be peaceful. I don't want to debate. No, you must debate with me. And then Mahaprabhu would debate with him. Gadadhar Pandit said to Mahaprabhu, when will the day come when you will become a devotee? And then Mahaprabhu said to him, just wait. One day will come when I'll become a devotee, and I'll become such a devotee that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods will come to take darshan of me. And therefore, isn't it, we sing, Brahmayadi Deva Gane. Yes, Brahma, all the devas, they came to see Mahaprabhu when they were offering aarti to him at Srivas Thakur's home. So, like this, their childhood passed together. They were practically together for all of their time in Navadvip together. And then we come to the most magical section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The turning point, the tipping point, the point where everything changes, the point where the tables are turned. And that point is the point when Mahaprabhu goes to Gaya. He gets the mantra. Japite japite mantra korite pagal, and just becomes completely maddened with love of Godhead. He comes, he wants to go to Vrindavan, but he comes back to Navadvip. And here Kaviraj Goswami beautifully explains how in Navadvip the five forms of God, the Pancha Tattva, all came together. It's like all the pieces of the puzzle, they all came together, and then there was a complete explosion of love for Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami says, Se pancha tattva mili prithivi ashiya purva prema bandarera mudra ugadiya. These five personalities assembled prithivi on this earth. And what did they do? Purva prema bandarera mudra ugadiya. That same storehouse of love of God that Krishna had previously brought. The problem was that storehouse was sealed. So then what did the Panchatattva do? Pancha mili lute prem kare ashwadhan jata jata piya trishne bade anukshan. They broke that seal. Ashwadhan, they began tasting it. Jata jata piya trishna, and as they drank more and more, bade anukshan, it just began growing and began boiling within them. Patra patra vichar nahi nahi stan stan, je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. They were so much overflowing with this love for Krishna that they just went, patra patra vichar nahi, not considering this place or that place. Nahi stan stan, who's qualified? Je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. Whoever they met, they got the mercy. Lutiya khaya diya bandara ujade, ascharya bandara prema shatgune bade. This was their daily activity. Lutiya, to break it open. Khaya, to eat it. Diya, to give it. This was their daily activity. And it was a flood. Uchalila prema vanya chaudika vedoi, stri vridha balak juva sabare duboi. Kaviraj Goswami says, it was like a flood which went chaudika vedoi in all directions. Stri, women, vridha, old men, balak, young boys, yuva, young men, sabare duboi, they all drowned in love for Krishna. So it was really an amazing time, a magical time when love for Krishna was just overflowing. It was just going in all directions. And it's very wonderful, you think, when Vaishnavas, if they can come together and not have any barriers, no envy between them, complete love, complete trust, complete service attitude between them, and relishing Krishna between them in such a non-envious mood, then how much love for Krishna they generate amongst themselves, and how much love for Krishna then naturally just overflows into the world from such pure and powerful Sangha. That was what the Panchatattva were doing, and that was what they were exhibiting to the world, that this is possible, that amazing things can happen. So it was just flooding in Navadvip. The Panchatattva were just going everywhere. There were kirtans. It said the kirtan would go past the village. One person would come into the kirtan. It was like a whirlwind. One person would come into the kirtan and you'd never see them again. It said some people would come into the kirtan, they would stay there, and then after 1 or 2 days, somehow or other, they would emerge out of the kirtan. One person came out of the kirtan and he said to the person, who am I? Am I married? Am I married? Who am I married to? Like, you just forget. People would just forget their material situation because they were just captured by the transcendental vibration which just took them to another world, another space of consciousness. It's explained some old men who could hardly walk, when the kirtan would come, they would just jump and dance. And they would jump so high that they would reach the branches of a tree. You imagine, you know, like jumping and reaching the branch of a tree. And then not only that, they would go on the tree and then they would start dancing on the branch. Not only that, they would go to the edge of the branch. I mean, you think it might snap, like, be careful. And they would just be there dancing on the branches of the trees. Young men would go to the trees and just pull them out of the ground, like, boom. It's like, one day, hopefully, we can experience that kind of kirtan. Yeah, it's possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Adyapiha Shaili Lakah Gaura Roy, Kona Kona Bhagyavan Dekhi Bara Poi. That these pastimes, they're going on even today. But you have to become very fortunate in order to witness that. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time he witnessed it. He was in Navadvip, and in the middle of the night, he said, he just shouted out, wake up, wake up, Gauranga, Nityananda, they're passing by, they're passing by. So everyone woke up, everyone went out. Like, where? He said, you didn't see? You didn't see the Prema Kirtan go by? No. Not fortunate. Unfortunate. So it's happening even today. It's a miraculous movement and miraculous things happen. And in this way, Gadadhar Pandit was with Mahaprabhu in these amazing Sankirtan pastimes. We go to Srivasangan. And there we know that so many kirtans were going on there. It said that in Srivasangan, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says by his transcendental vision, that Srivasangan is non-different from the Rasastali, where Krishna and Radharani had their most intimate pastimes. So therefore he said in Srivasangan that when the kirtan would go on, then Gadadhar, at one point in the kirtan, he would in ecstasy manifest his golden form, golden hue, just shining like whew. And at the same time, Mahaprabhu, unable to cover his identity as Krishna, would become blackish, like that, in these amazing kirtans that went on at Srivas Thakur's place. So these places are amazing. I remember once I was at Srivasangan and I was by myself, just walking through Mayapur, stopped there and I thought, it would be nice to have a kirtan here, you know, like, here I am by myself. Like, this is the home of kirtan. How nice it would be to have a kirtan here. And just as I was thinking that, 50 university boys came there. I thought, wow, this is looking promising. And then one of them just came forward and said, kirtans, and he just looked at me and he said, lead. It wasn't like, hello, like, Prabhu, can you? It was just like, lead. I was like, okay, I'll lead then. That's, Krishna fulfilled my desire. That was very nice. So it's such a magical thing. So Gauranga, Gadadhar, they were together when Mahaprabhu was a scholar. Gauranga Gadadhar, they were together when the Sankirtan movement took over. And Gauranga Gadadhar, they were even together when Mahaprabhu took sannyas. You see, Gadadhar Pandit is a very unique personality. Because some associates were only in Navadvip. And some associates were only in Jagannath Puri. But Gadadhar Pandit is one of the rare personalities who was there throughout all of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. When this Prema Kirtan was going on in Navadvip, in ecstasy one day Mahaprabhu said, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, I want to see Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit was with him thinking how to pacify. So he said to Mahaprabhu, Nimai, Nimai, just be patient. Nimai said, no, where is Krishna, I must see Krishna. Gadadhar said, Krishna is very close. Krishna is in your heart. And as soon as Nimai heard that, Gadadhar Pandit thought, oh my God, said the wrong thing there. Nimai started opening his chest. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Gadadhar held his hands. No, don't do that. Sachimata saw the whole scene. And she said to Gadadhar, you protected him very nicely. You stay with him for his whole life. You be his constant companion. And therefore Gadadhar Pandit, indeed, even after Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Mahaprabhu wanted to take sannyas. Everyone said, no, no, you cannot take sannyas. You cannot take sannyas. Gadadhar Pandit said, why you want to take sannyas? You can be a grihastha and be a devotee. They were all trying to convince him. Mahaprabhu said, no. So Mahaprabhu took sannyas, went to Jagannath Puri. Gadadhar Pandit said, okay, I'll also go to Jagannath Puri. So there he went to Jagannath Puri. He was given certain instructions. Always read Bhagavatam. Initiate disciples who are qualified and worship the deity of Tota Gopinath. So these were the main instructions given to Gadadhar Pandit in Jagannath Puri, and this indeed he did. He was reading Bhagavatam every day. In fact, Mahaprabhu was coming to hear Bhagavatam from him. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, is said they read hundreds of times. Later on in the Bhakti Ratnakar, we read about how Srinivas Acharya came to learn Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And when he opened the whole manuscript, it was completely blotched. Because Gadadhar Pandit, when he would read the Bhagavatam, was in ecstasy of tears, just crying, 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 crying. So he said, you will have to go to Sri Kanda to get another copy. So indeed, Srinivas Acharya went. And by the time he came back, Gadadhar Pandit left the world. So that is. So in this way, Gadadhar Pandit was with Mahaprabhu throughout all of the pastimes. And he's very, very confidential servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, assisting Mahaprabhu who comes. You see, Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani, but Mahaprabhu is coming in the mood of Radharani. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Krishna Naomi Swarupam. So therefore, Gadadhar Pandit doesn't overtly take on the mood of Radharani because he wants to allow Mahaprabhu to experience that bhava, Radha Bhav. Yet we understand he is Radharani. So today we'll kind of just hone into one incident of Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. We'll just hone into one pastime of Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is very instructive to us because we want to hear about Gaura Gadadhar, but we want to try and bring it down to our level and see what does it mean for me today and how do I learn and grow and develop from hearing about Gauranga and Gadadhar. So we're reading here today from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya Leela, chapter number 16. This is text number 137. So if you repeat after me. Panditera Gauranga, Panditera Gauranga Prem Bhujana Nayai. Panditera Gauranga Prem Bhujana Nayai. Pratigya Shri Krishna Seva Chadila Trina Pray. Pratigya Shri Krishna Seva Chadila Trina Pray. Panditer Gauranga Prem Bhujana Nayai. Pratigya Shri Krishna Seva Chadila Trina Pray. Someone want to repeat? Tigya Shri Krishna Seva Chadila Trina Pray. Panditer Gauranga Prem Bhujana Nayai. Panditer Gauranga Prem Bhujana Nayai. Pratigya Shri Krishna Seva Chadila Trina Pray. Mother Jesus. Panditer Goranga Pem Pujana Nayai. Pratigya Shri Krishna Seva Chadila Trina Pray. Panditer Goranga Prem Bhujana Nayai. Pratigya Shri Krishna Seva Chadila Trina Pray. Panditera of Gadadhar Pandit. Goranga Prem, the love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhujana, understanding. Nayai, it is not possible. Pratigya, a vow. Shri Krishna Seva, the service of the Lord. Chadila, gave up. Trinapray, almost like a straw. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. No one can understand the loving intimacy between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit gave up his vow and service to Gopinath just as one gives up a piece of straw. Purport. Just to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, Gadadhar Pandit gave up his life's vow to engage in Gopinath's service. This kind of loving affection can be understood only by very confidential devotees. Ordinarily, no one can understand its purport. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So, just to give the context to this verse, many times in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. When he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, then his first thought was, go to Vrindavan. And then the voice from the sky came, no, no, you're God, you got a job to do. You got to go back to Navadvip and inundate the town with Krishna Nam. So indeed, that time he failed. Then Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Keshav Bharati. He was at Katwa. And as he was walking away from the sannyas ceremony, Etam sa'asthaya paratmanishtam adhyashitam purvatamer maharshibi, chanting the sannyas mantra, his only thought was, I'm going to Vrindavan. Nityananda said, I'll take you to Vrindavan, don't worry, just follow me. Never trust Nityananda. Failed again, went to Shantipur, Mother Sachi saw him. Mother's request. You've taken sannyas now, at least fulfill two requests. Okay, what would you like, Mother? First request, while you're here in Shantipur, let me cook for you. This is what's on a mother's mind. Second request, make Jagannath Puri your headquarters. Yes. Fulfilled. So Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri to spend the rest of his life. So Gadadhar Pandit was very observant. He was watching the whole situation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is my life and soul. How can I live without him? Somehow or other I have to stay with him. So Gadadhar Pandit had the idea. What I'll do is I'll take Kshetra Sannyas. I'll take Kshetra Sannyas and vow to never leave the boundaries of Jagannath Puri. And by taking this Sannyas vow, no one will ever be able to ask me to leave Jagannath Puri and leave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. It was a good plan. He wasn't so interested in the sannyas, but what he was more interested in is the fact that he would be able to spend the rest of his life with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, he was wanting to serve Gopinath, but the main thing is he wanted to be with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, okay, I'll take Kshetra Sannyas. What's the big deal? I'll be with Mahaprabhu for the rest of my life. That will be great. But then what happened? At one point, Mahaprabhu said, I'm out of here. I'm going to Vrindavan. He's like, oh my God, that backfired completely. I only took Kshetra Sannyas and took this heavy, heavy vow to be in the boundaries of this holy place just so I could be with you. And now you're leaving. Now I'm stuck with these vows. The vow of sannyas, very heavy vow. Of my service to Gopinath. And you're leaving. How will I live without you? So as Mahaprabhu was preparing to leave, Gadadhar Pandit came to me and said, I've been thinking about this deeply. I'm coming with you. What do you mean? You've taken a vow. Pandit kohe jahan tumi sei nila chal. Gadadhar Pandit said, jahan tumi, wherever you are, sei nila chal. That is Jagannath Puri. That was quite an ingenious way of dealing with the situation. Pandit kohe jaha tumi sei nila chal, kshetra sanyas mora yokara satal. Wherever you are, Mahaprabhu, that is Jagannath Puri. And as for my kshetra sanyas, Kshetra sannyasa moura yoka rasa tal. That can go to hell. It's not my bad language. These are the words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yoka rasa tal. The vow can go to hell. So now we know that modern saying. It has its roots in the Bengali of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yoka rasatal. It's a very interesting terminology. My vow can go to hell. The first thing we have to realize, Gadadhar Pandit is saying this. The sannyas vow is not a light vow. It's a very, very heavy vow. They call it the final vow. And he's just saying it can go to hell. And the other thing to realize is Gadadhar Pandit is very gentle. He's very subdued. He's very quiet. And for him to just come out and say, go to hell! That's a big thing. It's like Tarak Krishna Prabhu is here. He's very mild, gentle, very softly spoken devotee. And if he would run into the temple room and say, go to hell! You think like, okay, it must be something serious here. Like, otherwise he wouldn't just say something like that. I mean, it's totally out of character. It's completely out of character for Gadadhar Pandit to say something like that. Kshetra sannyasa moura yoka rasa tal. He can go to hell. He said to Mahaprabhu, I don't care. I don't care that I've taken a sannyas vow. I don't care that I vowed for my whole life to worship Gopinath. I'm ready to leave it because I want to be with you. Mahaprabhu didn't agree. Now it's very interesting. Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Gadadhar is Radharani. And you can understand when they're going to have an argument, both are going to have powerful points. I mean, it's going to be an interesting debate. So Gadadhar Pandit's point is that the purpose of my vow is to come face to face with Krishna. Isn't it? We read that in Shastra. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vishmartavya na jatuchit sarve vidhi nishedasyur etayoreva kinkara. All the rules, all the niyams, all the sankalpas, all the vows, all the vratas that we make, Etayoreva kinkara is just subservient to the principle of always remember Krishna and never forget him. So Gadadhar Pandit said, what are all these vows anyway? The main thing is these vows are meant to bring us face to face with you. And now I'm face to face with you, I've received the perfection of these vows, there's nothing else to do. So there's no value of these vows anymore. That was a good argument. Mahaprabhu didn't agree. He said, your vows are your greatest wealth. The service that you have for Gopinath is the most precious asset you have in your life. And I want you to teach the world that if you follow your vows, if you honor your commitments, if you remain chaste and loyal to whatever service you've dedicated to Krishna, then from that amazing things will come. And therefore, I know you want to come with me to Vrindavan, but I won't allow you. I want you to stay in Jagannath Puri and honor your vow to serve Gopinath. Honor your vow to remain as a Kshetra Sannyasi here. So Mahaprabhu got on the boat, began rowing away. Gadadhar Pandit just fainted in it. Complete separation. That was too much to handle. But what to do? The instruction has come, so he had to remain. So there he remained in Yameshwara Tota, in the garden of Yameshwara, where he was worshipping his beautiful deity of Tota Gopinath. So many of devotees have been to Jagannath Puri to see that beautiful deity that was discovered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and given to Gadadhar Pandit. So indeed, Gadadhar Pandit dedicated himself to worshipping the deity of Gopinath day after day with incredible love, with incredible devotion, with incredible attention. And we know that amazing interactions took place between Gadadhar Pandit and Tota Gopinath. And eventually when Mahaprabhu left the world, and that was so difficult for Gadadhar Pandit, the separation from Mahaprabhu, the separation when he went to Vrindavan was difficult enough, but the separation of Mahaprabhu when he left the world and the prospect that Gadadhar Prabhu would never see him again, that was too much for Gadadhar Pandit, such that his body became bent. I mean, these are like, you think about these things, I mean, we read it in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I mean, you just think for a moment, like, you become so sick and decrepit because of separation of love. I mean, in the world, they have this concept of being lovesick, isn't it? Like, oh, I'm lovesick. Oh. I mean, this just takes it to another level, you know? His body was just bent over in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it became so bent that at one point he had to say, I can't serve Tota Gopinath anymore. Because my body's so bent that I can't even reach to put the garlands, put the chandan, put the dress. I'll have to hand over the worship of Tota Gopinath to someone else. And then that very night in the dream, Tota Gopinath came to Gadadhar Pandit. How are you leaving my service? You are my confidential servant. I want only you to serve me. No, but Gopinath, I cannot serve you, I cannot reach, my body is old and bent. And don't worry, tomorrow morning everything will be solved. And indeed, when Gadadhar Pandit awoke the next morning and took darshan of Tota Gopinath, then that beautiful deity of Krishna had sat down. And therefore, one of the rare deities, darshan of deities that you get where Krishna is sitting down. Just to sit down, just to honor the fact that he wanted the service of his very dedicated and loving servant, Gadadhar Pandit. This is the result. This is the result that one achieves when we follow vows, when we make a commitment to Krishna and we honor them with great determination, perseverance and patience. And today, maybe as we're speaking about Gauranga and Gadadhar Pandit, we can kind of try to bring it down to our level and think that here in this pastime between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're learning the importance of vows, maintaining vows, taking vows, increasing commitment, and in this way, drawing ourselves closer and closer and closer to Krishna. A devotee's life is basically full of vows. Like we have primary vows, vows of initiation, Brahmin initiation. We have secondary vows, which are vows of ashram, vows as a brahmacharya, as a grihastha, as a sannyasi. We have like supportive vows where you do like ekadashi or you observe certain festival days. We even have internal vows that we take on Kartik. I'll do this many rounds or this much reading. So if you think about our life is just basically a series of vows. That's basically how Krishna tricks us. Because in the beginning they say, just add a little bit of Krishna to your life. And then it comes to the stage where there's no space left because Krishna has hijacked the whole thing. There's like no more space to add Krishna in because he's taken over the whole show. He said that if you think that your consciousness is like a pool, imagine like your consciousness is like a pool. And then when you make a commitment or you take a vow, then it's like throwing a stone in that pool. And then you take another commitment, and it's like putting another stone, and then another stone. And then you take initiation, and it's like, boom, put a boulder in. And then you put another stone, another stone. And then you take another bigger vow, put another bigger rock in. And eventually what happens is that the pool of your consciousness becomes so filled with the different rocks of commitment to Krishna, that now and again, it does happen that a material desire may enter into your pool of consciousness. But what will happen when the material desire comes in? Because there's so many rocks already in there, it will just hit one of the rocks and jump out again. And that's basically what spiritual life is. A Paramahamsa is someone who has just made many, many commitments to Krishna. One after the other. One commitment. Make it, honor it, deeply implant it into your heart, and then make the next commitment. Just making a bigger and a bigger commitment every single day. And if you look at the life of a Paramahamsa, of a very advanced devotee, that's basically what it is. A series of vows that they've implanted into their hearts, honored, and then just increased more and more. And in this way, we come very, very close to Krishna. You can sometimes think of taking a vow like, you can use the metaphor of a mountain. It's like if you look at a mountain from a distance, then it's like you think, wow, that would be so exciting to go to the top of that mountain. So the first stage in taking a vow is excitement, like, wow, that would be amazing. And then what happens is you get closer to the mountain, and then you get to the foot of the mountain. And then you look up and you think, this is quite high. Like, will I make it to the top? So in the beginning there's excitement, but when it actually comes to taking the vow, there is deep, deep trepidation. Hesitation. And you think, I've come this far, okay, let me try. So then you begin climbing the mountain of the vow. And in the beginning, whenever you start climbing something, there's great enthusiasm, isn't it? But then you get to a middle point where you're kind of running low on energy. And then climbing up the mountain of that vow is a struggle. So then you look down and you think, well, you look up first and you think, oh my God, long way to go. But at the same time, you look down and you think, well, I've already come this far. You think like, okay, I'll carry on then. You carry on climbing up the mountain of the vow. And then at one point, you get to the peak. And when you overcome and you get to the peak of that mountain from that vow that you've honored and you've followed, then on the peak, what happens? You get an amazing view. You get an amazing darshan. So when we take a vow for Krishna, take for example an initiation vow. In the beginning, it's excitement. Yeah, I want to get initiated, I want to get initiated. Day of initiation at the foot of the mountain. Can I really do this? There are some people who have walked out of initiation just before, in the ceremony. Yeah, it happens. Trepidation. But then you think, okay, I'll do it. You take the initiation vow and then 2-3 years later, you're in the middle of that mountain and it's a struggle. But those who carry on and you get to the peak, then Krishna reveals so much through that commitment that you've honored. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite khatita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. That one who has this faith to carry on, faith in Guru, faith in Krishna, then everything is revealed, everything is shown to them. So in this way, when you get to the top of the mountain of vows, there's a great darshan. And then after that, when you have to go down the other side of the mountain, well, that's just good fun. You just go whoosh, straight down. In this way, then at that point, the vow is not a burden. At that point, the vow is actually inspiring. Like it said that the Goswamis of Vrindavan were living under a tree, different tree every single day. Now that's a principle of a renunciate, because a renunciate shouldn't get attached to one place, not even a tree. You think like, why are you going to get attached to a tree? But even then, they would not sleep under the same tree every day. But actually, it's explained that the Goswamis were moving from tree to tree, not because they were scared of getting attached, but because under every tree of Vrindavan, they were visualizing and meditating and being internally revealed with different pastimes that Krishna performed there. So they were still moving from tree to tree. But the reason for moving from tree to tree was not because they were scared and because they had to and because it was a commitment and because it was part of their ashram. They were moving from tree to tree out of transcendental absorption. So when you come under the other side of the mountain of vows like that, it just becomes a transcendental revelation. And in this way, the mountain of vows, you can think about it. Who's going to climb the mountain of vows? Who's going to climb the mountain of making a deeper commitment to Krishna? You see, in our life, there's a lot of hesitation to make a commitment. Isn't it? Nowadays, even people, they don't get married. Why do we need a piece of paper? We're doing everything anyway. Why do we need to get married? But there's a sense in which when you make an external commitment, then it forces you to internally grow. You see, what a vow does is it makes you live on a level that's higher than your realization at this point, and it makes you stay there. Like, we're here right now, and then you take a vow to live here. And now you're living here, not because you have the realization, but because you made the vow. So in order to stay here, what you're going to have to do is internally grow, become deeper, become more absorbed. And that's why vows are so powerful, because they will force you to internally. So if you want to break out of spiritual stagnation, make a bigger vow to Krishna. Not anything rash, not anything whimsical, not anything that's beyond your scope, but something which will help you to internally grow. And that's basically the path of Krishna consciousness. Keep moving towards Krishna. Keep making a bigger and bigger effort, a bigger and bigger endeavor. Once I was in Vrindavan and I was doing parikrama. And it's like I'm quite tall, so I walk quite fast. Once I did parikrama with Radha Govinda, we were doing Govardhan parikrama, and I left him behind. And he appeared 3 hours later. He was furious with me. I'm quite fast on like parikrama, like I can do Govardhan parikrama in about 3 hours. Not boasting or anything, but so. Once I was doing parikrama in Vrindavan and I was walking, and then just out of nowhere this Brijabasi comes right beside me. He's an old man, twice my age. And half my height, literally. Like. So I'm walking, and he just walks right past me. Like effortlessly, just walks right past me. I'm like, how's this possible? He's double my age, he's half my height, and I'm walking pretty fast here. He was just walking faster and faster. I'm not lying. This is like, it was a mystical experience. So he was walking just faster in front of me. I was like, no, I'm not going to let this happen. So then I just started walking faster. Walk a bit faster. I started walking faster and he was still pulling away from me. Right? And I didn't see his face, so in my mind I was just thinking, can you just turn around? I just want to see who you are. Like, are you a demigod or who are you? Like, I started walking even faster. I'm not joking. At one point I was practically running. And he was still pulling away from me. And in my mind I was just thinking, can you just turn around? I want to see. But he didn't look back once. And within 15 minutes, out of sight. It's like, who was that man? Small man. Probably a spiritual giant. Who was he? And then I was thinking like, what is Krishna trying to teach me? I don't know what Krishna was trying to teach me, but one reflection could be, he was walking. He was walking forward and he never looked back once. And you know what? In life, when you walk forward and you never look back, you can make fast, fast progress. One of our biggest things that slows us down in life is we're always looking back. Look back, regret on all the things I didn't do. Look back, let's see what everyone else is doing. Isn't it? Oftentimes we won't do something in life unless everyone else is doing it. Isn't it? Many times in my life I felt like that. I'm not going to do this unless everyone else does it. Once I was on the edge of a pool with all of my friends and it was like it's freezing water. And we said like, okay, we're all going to jump in. Yeah, everyone into it. Yeah, everyone's into it. Brilliant. Okay, after three. One, two, three. Jump! And like, I jumped. And then after about 10 seconds of resurfacing back to reality and getting above the water, I looked back and they were all still on the edge. So like, we were in this together. Oftentimes in spiritual life, we're looking back. Is everyone else doing it? If they're not doing it, I'm not going to do it. One person once said to me, if you want to achieve what others don't achieve, then you have to be willing to do what others would never do. I thought, yeah, makes sense. So when I was seeing this man, I was like, don't look back, don't regret, don't compare yourself, don't look at what everyone else is doing. Just keep moving forward to Krishna. Just keep moving forward. That same trip I was in Vrindavan, I was leaving Vrindavan, and just the day before I was leaving Vrindavan, I met one Brijabasi there, and he said, what's happening? I said, I've been in Vrindavan, it's been amazing. He's like, what next? I said, I'm going back to London. And then he just gave me like the dirtiest look ever. Like, you're going back to Vrindavan, London. You're in Vrindavan. Why are you going back to London? I said, oh, I've got responsibilities, seva, so on and so forth. He said, let me tell you one thing. All reality outside of Vrindavan is simply a dream. And all dreams in Vrindavan are a reality. I thought, oh, that's very nice. Then I said to him, looks like I'm going to have to go back into the dream to get out of the dream. But it was a nice point that don't look back. Don't look back at the dream, the transitory things of all this world, the things that capture our attention. Just keep looking forward to Krishna and you make great, great advancement, great, great traction, great, great progress in your spiritual life. So here Gadadhar Pandit is showing us the power of vows, the power of making a commitment. Commitment means an internal commitment, an external commitment, and an internal commitment as well to Krishna, to become more and more dedicated, more and more absorbed. Like we always have to be growing in our spiritual life. I was giving a class on this a few weeks ago, and I was saying, we always have to grow in our spiritual life. And then one person asked the question, he said, but what about if we're in our service and we think we're doing okay? Like, I have a nice service, I have a nice schedule, everything is good. Why do we always have to be doing more, more, more? Isn't it okay to just be in your service and just carry on? Why are you talking always about always growing, increasing, furthering, expanding? Why can't we just be happy with what we have and just do that for the rest of our life? So then what I said to him was that don't think of growth as just external growth. Yes, you have to externally grow, dedicate more of your time, your energy, the space in your life to Krishna. But sometimes it comes to the point where actually externally, you can't actually do much more for Krishna because all your time is used up already. Like sometimes it's like that in someone's life. They're at capacity already externally. Every day when I go to sleep, when I lie down, then the first thing I do when I lie down at night is I backtrack to the day, the moment I woke up. I do this every day. I woke up and then I think, okay, 3:30 to 4:30, I did this. 4:30 to 6, I did this. 6 to this. And then I go through the day like that. Anyway, most of the time I fall asleep before the analysis is done. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but there are days where you think like, I couldn't have fit anything more. I couldn't fit anything more in. Like, that was capacity. I couldn't do much more. But growth doesn't simply mean external growth, it means also internal growth. So if someone is even at capacity or they're satisfied or steady with what they're doing, now the growth comes from doing it in a deeper way. Like I was thinking of the symptoms of bhava the other day. As you do. Shantiravyarthakalatvam viraktirmanashunyata Ashabanda samat kantha namagane sadaruchi ashaktistad gunakhyane pritistad vashati stale ityadayo nubhavasyor jata bhavan kure jane. So Rupa Goswami gives the symptoms of bhava. So one of the symptoms of bhava is avyartha kalatvam, that you wouldn't waste even one moment of time. So some devotees come to that point. Isn't it like Mother Kalangana said, I don't fear death because in my life I know I didn't waste any time. So first thing in our life is we have to come to that point where we don't waste any time. We're like every part of our life is connected to Krishna. But then it may come to a point in a devotee's life where actually externally everything is dedicated to Krishna. So then what next? So then if you look at all the other symptoms of bhava, they're not external. Kshantir, forgiveness, sometimes it said humility. Virakti, detachment. Mana shunyata, no pride. Ashabandha, deep hope, hope against hope. Samutkantha, intense eagerness, intense desire. Ruchi, attraction. Ashaktistad guna khyane, addiction. He said the devotee on bhava is addicted to glorifying Krishna. See, it's very interesting. Most of the symptoms of bhava, they're not even external, they're all internal moods. So therefore I said to the, just backing track, therefore I said to this devotee that it's not so much, first we have to get to external full commitment and then internally making it thicker and thicker. Sometimes we give the example of sweet rice. That once you have the sweet rice on the stove and it's cooking, then you keep the flame steady, and then what do? You just keep it there. And you keep stirring and stirring and stirring and making it thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. And that's basically what spiritual life is. First we come to that point of putting in all the commitments and the ingredients, getting it to a certain point, and now make it deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And when we do that, then we get an amazing realization of Krishna. So that commitment is so important in spiritual life. I was giving a class recently, and then someone said, do you believe in love marriages or arranged marriages? And I'm like, do I really have to answer this? Like, so then what I said to the person is, are all love marriages, do all love marriages have love in them? Do they? Do all arranged marriages have love in them? Do they? No one's sure. No. Love marriage doesn't guarantee love. Arranged marriage doesn't guarantee love. So what guarantees love then? It's the commitment after the relationship. The commitment from both sides. So Krishna is there, he's committed. He's ready. He's up for it. But from our side, is that commitment there? To go on year after year, external commitment and internal depth. The other day, just this last week, we were just in Southampton doing book distribution, and it was like, I hadn't been there for like 4 or 5 months, and it was just like, sometimes you go into these towns and it's like you know everyone. Like you know the big issue guy, you know the charity collectors, you know the busker who's on his spot. It's like meeting old friends again, you know, it's like, so I went into this town and I walked onto the street and there was this busker there. And I tell you, I've been seeing this guy for like 10, 15 years, like right there on the same spot. And we're always together. I said to him once, I said, you know, I said, I have to hand it to you. You're like the most steady Sankirtan partner I've ever had. Like, you're just there every day. He's just there every single day. So I got out onto the street and I said to him, and then I said to him, "All right, good to see you. Still here, huh? 15 years, you're still here." I said to him, "Still playing the same golden songs." I didn't say golden old. I said, "You're still there playing those same songs, Oasis, Wonderwall, all that stuff." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "I see you're still here, selling the same old books, with the same old lines, with the same smile." I said. And then I thought to myself, if this person can come out day after day and do this, why can't I? It's like this is the greatest work in the world. Why can't I? And so I said to him, "Yeah, just pray that I can be as committed as you in doing what I'm doing." And that is very wonderful if we can do that. So commitment, vows, there's always a hesitation in taking a vow. Why do I need to take a vow? I'm doing it anyway. But remember, Paramahamsa is one who takes more and more vows, honors them, plants them. This is our greatest wealth. Krishna planted pearls. And from those pearls came many, many other pearls. So vows are like that, planting pearls in the heart. And therefore, Gadadhar Pandit, through his interactions with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he said, "Kshetra sanyasa mora yokara satal," let my vow go to hell. Mahaprabhu said, "No, keep your vow. Because I want you to show the world that whoever makes a vow for Krishna, whoever puts themselves on the line and says, 'Yes, I'm walking forward, I'm going to try and do more,' that person will get a very quick darshan of Krishna, come face to face." Hare Krishna. Got a few minutes if anyone has any questions or comments or corrections.